Thank you, ladies. I began a topic about a month ago on the fear of the Lord. I want to return to that today. It seems odd to say a month ago we talked about that, but we were on vacation the last couple weeks, and we appreciate those who filled in for us. Harold Vaughn was here, and Bob Alderman, and then those who shared during the week. We appreciate that. We went to Florida for a couple weeks, and then ended up coming back to Myrtle Beach during that time for a day or two. And enjoyed our time there. Appreciate you who prayed for us while we were gone. So I said, are you glad to be back? Not really. And let me explain that. When you get back, you're glad to be back. But when you're on vacation resting, you know, you're glad to be away. So it was good to get away. And now that we're back, it's good to be back. So I appreciate that. Do you go to church on vacation? I hope you do. I heard a guy say, I mentioned this before we left, I don't have to go to church, I get to go to church. I hope that's what you think. But I realized the last couple Sundays what some of you go through. Do I want to go to church today? I don't have to. See, I have to today, but last couple weeks I didn't have to. But we went to a church in celebration right outside of Disney on 2 weeks ago, and last week we went to church with John's parents in Ormond Beach. And here's what I have found out about church. When you go, you're blessed. It's very rarely that I go to church. I feel like, that wasn't worth going to. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to deal with things at church sometimes, but the last Sunday of June, we shared a communion service and talked from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about communion. And the Sunday before that, we talked about the fear of the Lord, and that's where I want to return today. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Are there benefits that will come to your life if you fear the Lord? And what characteristics should be present in your life if you fear the Lord? So those are some of the thoughts that I want to discuss and encourage and challenge you with in the next couple weeks. Let me begin by reading some verses of Scripture that talk about the fear of the Lord and make a couple comments and then try to help us understand how can we rise the fear of God in our own life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 17 says, "And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as foreigners in this land." Now there are several things in that passage. Let me just briefly mention them, and you can look at it later on your own if you desire to do so. First of all, we're foreigners in this land. I hope you realize that. We're not going to live here forever. This is not our home. We're pilgrims in this life. And so don't have so tight a grip on this world that you don't live for the Lord because you're worried about all the other things that are going on in your life. But it says, remember that your heavenly Father plays no favorites. He doesn't have favorites. Sometimes people will say to me, well, that just happens to you because you're a pastor. Well, I wish that were true, but this passage says God doesn't play favors. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a lay person in the church, first time in a church, just accepted Christ as your Savior. The Lord doesn't have favorites. How He treats us is not based on our position, but based on how we're living and what we do, this passage says. And if you're living for the Lord and honoring God in your life, He's going to honor you and bless you, even in the difficult times. And if you're not living for the Lord, then you're going to have to face His chastening. And I think the fear of the Lord includes reverence for who He is. I think it includes being in awe of who He is. And I think at times it means being afraid of who He is. Now that might challenge some of your thinking. There were times I was afraid of my mother. Those times usually surrounded when I did something I shouldn't do. I was afraid of what was going to happen. Now, I wasn't fearful over the other times of my life, but there were those times, like the time I wrecked my truck. I was fearful of her. You say, well, why would you be afraid of her? Because I was supposed to be in school. And me and a couple of friends had decided we wanted to go play home run derby down at the Vinton War Memorial. And then one of the guys took my truck and took the keys and took off with it and wrecked it. I was fearful of telling my mom we wrecked the truck when I was supposed to be in school and I wasn't driving. She beat the devil out of me. Sometime during the night, he got back in, though. Now, her beatings of me, I call them beatings, they were nothing more than whippings and things that I deserved, and there wasn't any physical abuse in that. But you understand, there are times that I didn't want to face my mom, because my mom was more the disciplinarian. My dad loved me and cared for me, but mom knew how to use the switch. And there were times when I was disobedient to her that I feared the consequences of what might happen when what I had done was made known, when it was wrong. And so in that sense, I think we need to have a healthy fear of God that might cause us to avoid sin that might be so prevalent in our lives. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, "By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil." And so you hear a parent say, this is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt you. I didn't understand that as a kid. I understand that as a parent. And proper discipline from a loving parent is that. It's I'm doing this to let you know that if you continue in this path, it's going to be very dangerous for you. I'm hoping to correct your thinking so you won't do it again. And so if you have a proper fear of God, you will avoid evil, Proverbs 16:6 says. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 30, "For the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom." King James says, "the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." And we have those who are contractors and builders in our church. And you understand the significance of having a good foundation. The structure is only going to be as strong as its foundation. And in our life, the foundation that which we should build on is wisdom. And the fear of God brings wisdom into our lives and the knowledge of the Most Holy. Psalm 2, verse 11. "Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate His rule with trembling." Those of you who ministered in Bible school this week, or those of you who sing or take the offering or set up chairs or whatever ministry you might be involved in, you should serve the Lord with fear, not afraid of Him, but "I'm doing this for the Lord. And I want to honor Him with my life and with my service and for the gifts that He has given to me, and we are conscious of His presence." Solomon, believed to be the wisest man that ever lived, in the last book that he wrote, in the last chapter, in the last couple verses, as he looks back on his life and remembers what he has been through and learns lessons, says this: "Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Solomon says, I've lived for this and I've lived for that, and some things have been profitable, some things have been in vain. And as I look back over my life, I realize if I would have just feared the Lord and kept His commandments, which I think is an outflow of our fear, that's really what life is all about. What is life about for you? It should be to learn to fear God and honor Him with your life. And we'll talk about that in the message. Psalm 25, verse 12. "Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should go." One of the benefits of fearing the Lord is God's going to give you wisdom in the choices that you make. Are you facing choices right now? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Should I get married? Should I not get married? How am I going to deal with my children and some wayward actions they're involved in? How am I going to deal with work Monday when I get in and I got to face this situation? We need wisdom all the time. There are many times we're just not sure what to do and how to act. And I believe that when we learn to fear the Lord, He's going to give us insight into the choices that we make that will be best for us. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. That's a blessing or a benefit. When you fear the Lord, the Bible says He has a host of angels around you protecting you and delivering you. Well, I was in a wreck last week. He didn't protect me. Well, you're here today. Doesn't mean that calamities won't come. Doesn't mean that problems will not come. But I think we're going to learn in heaven there's a lot of things that could have happened to us that didn't happen to us because of the Lord's protection and we didn't even know it. And when you fear the Lord and are walking with the Lord, that's a blessing and a benefit that comes to you. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in His commands. Do you find delight in living for the Lord? Is it the joy of your heart? I trust that it is, and I hope that it is, and if you fear the Lord, it will be. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. If you know what it means to fear the Lord, and if you fear the Lord in your life, you'll live longer. If you don't fear the Lord, you're going to make some choices that might take you out of here a little bit earlier than you should have gone or you could have lived for Him. Come, my children, listen, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. And so that's the verse that I want to springboard off of this morning, that we can learn to fear the Lord. The definition that I have given for what does it mean to fear the Lord? A conscious awareness of God's presence and God's power and God's holiness that causes us to act in ways that please Him. So if we have the fear of God in our life, these verses we've been talking about, if we fear the Lord, we're going to have a conscious awareness that God is with us, that His power is with us, and that He is holy in His character. And that knowledge of His presence and His power and His holiness will then cause us to act in ways that please Him. The illustration I always use is about a police car following you down the highway. It'll change how you drive. It'll make you look in your rearview mirror more times than you've looked in the rearview mirror in years. You know, you just it'll bring joy to your heart when he turns and goes down another road. To have a proper fear of God means that we understand that God is with us. Not just a police officer behind us, but a holy God that is with us, that is looking in our life, and that is wanting to bless us and wanting to use us for His glory. So how can we be more aware of God's presence and His power and His holiness in our life that will cause us to act in ways that please Him? So I'm going to use this acrostic, and we're just going to look at one thing today and maybe a few more next week. And the handout sheets are on the back if you want to get one. Some of the notes are on that. The verses are not. I can give you a copy of those if you want them. But A-W-A-R-E, and I hope as we go through this series that you'll think, how can I be more aware of God's presence in my life? How can I learn to fear the Lord? The first A is His awesome power. And we'll talk about that today. And we need to think about God's awesome power in our life and have reminders of His awesome power that will cause us to have a greater reverence and be in awe and fear Him. And then the second thing, the W, He'll wear you out. If you're not living for Him, because He loves you, whom the Lord loveth, He chastens. And we'll talk about that next week. The absolute presence of God. You know, He promises us He will never leave us or forsake us. And so if you think, well, maybe He didn't see this, or maybe He didn't hear this, or maybe He didn't know what I was thinking or how I was acting, you are wrong. He loves you, and He's absolutely present every moment of your life. And we need to honor Him. And then He'll reward you. We looked at a verse that talked about that. When you fear the Lord, there's blessings that will come into your life because you're honoring Him. And then He controls your eternal destiny. You know, when you die, God is the one who decides whether you go to heaven or not. He holds that eternal power. He can send you to heaven. He can send you to hell. Now, we know that's based upon our faith in Jesus Christ. But He makes that's His power. And today, let me talk about the Lord's awesome power. Genesis talks about His creation. He spoke the world into existence. He made something out of nothing. Now, I can make nothing out of something. But He made something out. He just spoke, let there be light. And there was light. Now, that might not trip your trigger, or that might not do a whole lot for you, but we have an awesome God. Yesterday and this week, our news has been focused on the moon landing 50 years ago. You know, the very stars and the planets in the heaven are placed there by God. And Colossians says they're not only placed there, but God, He sustains them. And so as we talk about how can we be more aware of the presence of God, when you go outside today or tonight and you look up into the and you see the sun or you see the moon or you see the stars, let it be a reminder to you, our God placed that there. I tell the story about a guy who was on an airplane and there was a beautiful rainbow, and somebody said to him, "Look at that rainbow. Look how beautiful it is." And the guy said, "Yeah, my company puts that on." "Your company?" "Yeah, God and I, and that's what He does." So when we see a sunset or when we see the stars or the moon or whatever, God does that. Not only does Genesis say, "And God spoke the world into existence, and let there be light, and let there be waters, and let there be the firmament," but it also says, "And what He did was good." His awesome power. Colossians 1, "For through Him God created everything in the heavenly realm." And basically, He holds that together. Let me say this. Does God need to speak into your life? Does His power need to be there? You may be involved in a ministry right now at the church or somewhere else, and you think, you know, this is just dying. God can speak life into that. Did you know that? God can use you. Never think this is not working out because of me. Because if anything is done of eternal significance, it's not really you doing it. It's God doing it through you. When people get saved, it's not because of us, but it's because of Christ. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws people into the Father, they will never get saved. God's the one who does that, but He does it through His Word. Maybe in your marriage or raising your children, it just seems like things are on the rocks and you just don't know what directions to turn and things are dying. God can speak life into that. If I was at a marriage counselor a series or session several years ago, and he used the illustration of a triangle, and he said, put the husband on one side of the corner of the triangle and the wife on the other. The closer you are to God, the closer you are to each other. And that's true. And so if there's issues in a marriage or issue with raising children, it's because someone is out of bounds and not following God's principles. And if we do that, God's blessings will return. God can speak life into that. "Well, my life doesn't have purpose. It just seems like it's a rat race. And I get up on Sunday and I go to work and I come home and I go to bed and I get up and I do this and every week is the same. And there's really no purpose in my life." But God has a purpose for your life. Colossians says you were created by God and for God. And when you understand that you're not here by mistake, that God fashioned you in the womb and you are wonderfully and fearfully made, and God wants to use you for His glory for eternity, can breathe life into that. You see, it's the Word of God that speaks life. It's not our arguments. It's not our reasoning. It's not our illustrations. Those things can be used, the Lord, but ultimately, it's God's Word that will not return void. It's God's Word that convicts a heart and challenges a heart and gives hope and encouragement to a heart. And so when you see the heavens and when you understand the power of God in creation, let it remind you that God can still speak life into those things in your life that seem to be nothing. And He can make something out of nothing. And then His power to heal the sick. Mark chapter 2 talks about a man who was crippled and paralyzed, and his friends brought him to Jesus. You remember the story, and they couldn't get into the house. It was so crowded, so they went up on the roof and made a hole in the roof and let him down on ropes in front of Jesus. And Jesus forgave the man his sin, and then He healed the man. And as he was leaving in Mark chapter 2, it says, and the people were amazed at what God did. God still has the power to heal the sick. See, part of my problem as a Baptist preacher is I have heard the charlatans on television talk about faith healing and all the other things. And I think, you know, what are you talking about? And you've got friends and you've got relatives who big promises were made. You know, you're going to do this and God's going to heal you and He's going to raise you up. And they got worse or they died. And people are turned off. But I believe that Jesus can still heal today. And we talked about His conditional will and His unconditional will. And it's not all, I can tell you what God's will is, that we're all going to die unless the rapture takes place. For it is appointed unto man once to die. That's the scripture. It's going to happen. Some people that you pray for to be healed are going to die. And that's hard, and that might even be cold, but it's a reality, and you know it and I know it. But there may be some people that are sick that through medication or through a touch of God, they may be healed because of God's power and God's will in their life. And it may be that we have not because we ask not. Well, how do you know? You don't know. But you can pray. Now, faith healers, and other people say, well, it's a lack of faith. If you just had enough faith, you'd be healed. Well, I think faith plays a part. But Jesus healed people, and they had no faith. They didn't even know what He was going to do. He would go into villages in Mark chapter 9, and whole villages would come out to Him and be healed. Those same people that were healed got sick later and even died. So God's purpose in healing was not just to make them better, though that was one of the benefits. It was to show that He was God. And there are times when God will do miraculous things in the life of even sick people, not just so that they'll get better or have a few more years of life, even though that will happen. It's that people might realize that God did that. And His name is glorified and magnified. And so you may know people, and I know people who the doctors said, you know, this is not going to work out, and this is going to end in death, and it didn't. And they'll testify to that publicly today. God's power to heal, and the people were in awe when they saw this man who they knew to be paralyzed get off the mat. And so there are times that we see people who were sick or made it through some tragic situation, and they're still alive by the grace of God. And it should encourage us to remember that God still has the power to heal. He has the power to create. Also, He has the power to raise the dead. Mary and some of the ladies went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And you've probably heard people say this. It wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let people in. Jesus didn't need anybody to roll the stone away for Him. The angels did that so that the people could see that Christ had risen from the dead. I don't understand that. But you've got to have power to raise yourself from the dead. Or to stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth. I'm looking at some people today that were raised from the dead. Now, some of you are a little bit scary when I say that, or a little bit fearful when I say that, but spiritually, you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, with no hope and no life. And you heard the message of the gospel one time, and you received Jesus Christ into your life, and the dead was made alive spiritually. All of us were dead in trespasses and in sin. None of us. We were all like sheep going astray. Some of you here may have heard somebody say to you, well, I wish you'd have never born. You're never going to amount to anything. There's a lot of people like that in the world that grew up thinking that they were a mistake and that nothing could be made out of their life, and yet God made something wonderful through them. I see young people grow up in our church and not always having the best home life, and seem like all the odds were stacked against them, and yet God gets a hold of them and they give their life to Christ, and God does something miraculous in their life, and that which seemed to have no hope and no life turns to be a trophy of His grace. God can still use you. Yeah, Pastor, there was a time I used to be in church, there was a time I used to serve God, and then I messed up, and now I can't be used anymore. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can still be used of God again. And there are situations where there may be positions and offices. I think in the office of the pastor, I think there are things that can disqualify you from being a pastor, but nothing will ever disqualify you from being a Christian. Nothing can disqualify you from serving God if you make right wrongs before the Lord. And so if you're here today sort of beat up and dejected and carrying a load of guilt that God can't use you again, He can and He will. He can take the dead and He can bring it to life, and He can use you in great ways as He did Lazarus and as He can or as He had in many other people. And then His power can knock down the enemy. after the Lord's Supper, Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas was getting this mob together to come to the garden and secretly or privately arrest Jesus. They didn't want to do it publicly for fear of the crowd. And they came saying, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." If you remember the story, he said, "I am he." Do you remember what happened when he said that? They all fell as dead men. That'd be pretty scary. The guy you're going to arrest says his name and you fall down like you're dead. That's pretty powerful, just the power of his name and his character and his person. There was a time when the religious leaders took Jesus outside the city to a cliff and they were going to throw him off the cliff, and the Bible says he just walked through their midst. Whether he caused them to go blind, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he got away because his hour had not yet come. Is there things in your life that you don't think you can defeat? I mean, there's just habits and thoughts and actions and attitudes and reactions, and you know it shouldn't be a part of your life, and you know the Lord's not pleased with it, and you've tried and you've prayed and you've confessed and you've walked an aisle and you've done this and you've done that, and it's still there. A God who can speak the world into existence. A God who can raise the dead. A God who can heal the sick. A God who by his word can knock down the enemy, can help you have victory in your life. God not only delivered us from the penalty of sin, but the Bible clearly teaches he delivered us from the power of sin. And you can have victory, but it can't be nonchalant. Well, you know, where did I put my Bible after church last week? I can't find it. I know I put it here somewhere. You know, if you're not in your Bible regularly, if you're not in prayer, if you're not seeking to honor God in every moment of your life, then you're not going to have that victory that he promises. I think about the song, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding to sin. Each victory will help you another to win." And that's true in your life. And as we realize that God's power, we can see it in creation, we can see it in the lives of others, we can see it in how he moves in our own hearts as the word convicts and challenges and encourages us. And we realize that God is with us. And we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And we are more than conquerors in Christ. 1 Corinthians says that there's no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. But God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. It may be that how you're approaching your sin problem is not the proper approach. And sometimes we need to pray more. Sometimes we need to be in the Word more. Sometimes we need counsel and the encouragement of others more. It's something that we can't do on our own. Proverbs talks about how iron sharpens iron. I think God also orchestrates the events of our life. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I think there's times when we're wondering about a situation, how to handle it, or we've been thinking about somebody that is going through a problem we hadn't seen in a while, and then all of a sudden we see him in a grocery store. We run into him, we think, "We were just thinking about you." I don't think that's a coincidence. Henry Blackaby said, "When you pray, or when you finish praying, open your eyes and see what God's doing." Believing that God's going to work and answer to prayer. He will order your steps. I firmly believe that when we're seeking God and we want to honor God more than our own agendas, that he will close doors that need to be closed and open doors that need to be opened. I'm talking to that with my children right now, who both are sort of looking for jobs, and one has a job, and well, they both have jobs. They're just wondering whether they should stay in that particular job or not. I'm saying, look, just seek the Lord. And I've been sending them verses about that, because I believe God will open some doors and close some doors. And there may be situations in your life, "I can't believe this didn't work out." And God closed the door. And you're still a little bit bitter about that. The best thing that could have happened to you could have been that God closed that door. Had you walked in that door, you may have found out 2 months later or 6 months later, man, this was the wrong choice. And when you seek the Lord, he will order your steps. And he will direct your ways. And he will guide your mind. How can we be more aware of the Lord? realize that He created something out of nothing. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can knock down the enemy. He can do the impossible. And He orchestrates the events of your life. Israel was at the Red Sea. They had come from the grips of slavery in Egypt, and now they're at the Red Sea and mountains on both sides and Pharaoh behind them. The odds were impossible. There's no way they're going to live through this. They cannot match the army of Pharaoh. And they began to complain to Moses and saying, "Why did you bring us out here to die? We'd have been better off where we were." And as Moses prayed, God said, "I'm going to open the sea and you're going to walk across on dry land." And Moses had to put his faith in the power of God to do the impossible. And he said to the people, "Just stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord." And the power of God, the wind from God, opened that sea and dried that land and then crushed the enemy when they tried to cross. The fear of the Lord, a conscious awareness of His presence, of His power and His holiness, that causes us to act in ways that live Him, to honor Him. How can I be more aware of God's presence? First of all, by remembering and noticing His awesome power. Whether it's in creation, when you see the stars at night, whether it's in how He's working in people's lives to make something out of nothing, healing people, giving life to ministries or marriages or relationships that had died, doing the impossible, ordering your steps. Think about that this week. His awesome power. And He wants to make that available to you and through you to honor Him. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to study Your Word. And as we go through this series on what it means to fear the Lord, help us to, may the Holy Spirit speak to our heart and burn into our souls the need to be more aware of Your presence. Just like a police officer behind us will determine how we drive and what we do, so a consciousness of Your presence will affect how we act and what we say and how we react. And then the benefits and the blessings that come along with that. Father, you love us, and You have not given us principles to ruin our life, but to give us the joy and peace that we desire. We just don't know how to get there. And we thank You for the word that Your word that instructs us. Help us to understand that the beginning, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation of wisdom. Bless us as we leave and in the next service. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask a couple of our guys to get at the back. I don't know whether they were here when we did that. If you want to share in the offering, feel free to do that. This is just something special for Owen Garnett. We'll send that to them. As Brandon mentioned, they don't even know we're doing this. Just a way to show them we love them and help them with some of their financial needs. And right now I'm stalling while they're looking for the offering plate. So I don't know what. Does anybody have the Jeopardy music? All right. You're dismissed. Thank you.